The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
The level of your attack will tell you the level of blessing that is waiting for you on the other side of this attack.
Look with me in Genesis 45. I'll begin with the famous verse, verse 5. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. This is Joseph talking to his brothers. Because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve your life. Verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. One more time, he says it in verse 11. Therefore, I, Joseph, will provide for you and your household all you have come to poverty for that, lest you come to poverty, for there is still 5 years of famine. So there are four ways that God will provide for us. And they're found so easily in the scriptures. The first way that God provides for you, if you're taking notes, is through the hand of man. That's exactly what happened in this text. The Bible said that Joseph was talking to his brothers who had hurt him. His brothers who had thrown him in a pit and stolen his birthright. And then he turns around and he says to them, "You meant it for my evil. I'm not bitter. I'm not offended. I'm not angry. You meant it for my evil, but I see how God used what you put me through for my good. I wouldn't be where I am today." Well, where was he? Where was he? Let's talk about that for just 1 minute. He was working, the right-hand man. He was working in Egypt. He was a Jew, but he was in Egypt. And Pharaoh, at that time, history records, was the wealthiest man in the world. He owned the most real estate in the world. He had the mightiest army in the world. He was the most powerful Pharaoh on the planet. And guess what he did? He turned the keys over of his wealth to a Jew. This Egyptian Pharaoh gave the whole kingdom and its wealth to be controlled by this boy named Joseph. And Joseph then in return says to his own brothers who had done him wrong, "Don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you now that I'm on this side of the blessing of God." The first way that God will provide is through the hands of men. That's why Luke chapter 6 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over." And here's the key to that verse. Shall men. Shall men. God says, "I will cause men to give to you." The same God that takes three loaves and two fish and multiplies it and breaks it and says, "I'll make it exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think." He's your God. And the scripture said that he will use men to give unto you. They'll give you jobs. They'll open doors for you. They'll notice. They'll invest in you. He knows how to cause men to give unto you. Secondly, the second way that God provides is through the hands of God. He uses the hands of men, and then there are supernatural blessings. Let me tell you what I mean. When Joseph took care of those families for years and years and years, they were on the blessing train and they didn't have to worry about anything. And Joseph was the source, and really Pharaoh was the source. God used the hands of man to take care of them. But the Bible said, "And there arose another Pharaoh after he died that knew not Joseph nor his God." And everything changed, and suddenly all the resources that they had put their hope and faith in, it was taken out of their life. And I want to encourage somebody that when you lose a contract, when a big financial situation walks out of your life, it's a teaching moment that you need to learn this point. God uses man's hands, but God is real touchy about when you start looking to anybody more than Him as your source. Be thankful for where you are and begin to praise God for what He's already given you. He's got more, and He'll bless you if you'll obey Him and you'll honor Him. I want you to put your hands together, and I want you to thank the Lord for all that God's hand has provided. That old song, "All that I have needed, Thy hand hath provided." Look at the clothes. Look at the blessings. Look at the goodness of God. To God be the glory. Don't ever lose your humility. Don't ever lose your appreciation and thankfulness to God. He opened doors no man can shut. You found your way, and God has been good to you. Hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy. And God gave me this when I didn't see all the stuff that I see now. But I've seen the hand of man. I've actually had people come up to me and say, "I don't know why I'm doing this here." And I could tell they didn't like me. And I just smiled and said, "Praise the Lord." See, to you, it's a story, but to me, it's a miracle. Even the building you're sitting in, that nice cushioned seat, it's a miracle to me. It's more than just a seat. We didn't have any of it, but it came from the hand of God. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why it happened. It's nothing but the provision from the hand of God. And if He'll do it for me, He'll do it for you. Don't you quit dreaming. Don't you stop believing for better things. Don't you dare lay down the life and let it kick you. You get up and stand up on your hind feet and say, "My God will supply all my needs according to His riches." Every one of your children will go to college if they want to. Every one of them, God will supply all that I need. The hand of God. Now somebody shout, "I don't care. I don't care who came." Ooh. He'll make you the head and not the tail. He'll bless you in the city and bless you in the field. Man will try to block you out, but God says, "Where I bless and my hand blesses, nobody can push it down and destroy it." He'll bless by the hand of man. It's just people coming. There's a wave of the hand of man coming. And when it happens, you better give God the thanks. And then He'll bless by the hand of God, supernatural provision. I have so many stories I could pause and stay. Just trust me, supernatural provision. The third thing is, this is the part that I want you to shout then, because I knew you'd dry up on this one. Because we're all happy when it's the hand of man and when it's the hand of God. But the next way He'll bless you is your own hand. It's called a job. Some of you won't read the book of Job because it's spelled job. I'm scared you'll have to get one. But in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 12, it said, when they crossed over Jordan, I mean all those years, the hand of God gave them manna for 40 years. The hand of God did the miracle. But then there comes a new season where God says, "I don't want you living by miracles all the time. I don't want you in 911 calls, 'Help God, help, help. We're going to lose the house. We're going to lose the car.'" God will give you miracles. There's nothing wrong with being, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. But there's nothing wrong with having needs. But there's a greater plan God has than just struggle and scratching and scraping by. And by your own hand, what do you mean? The Bible said the manna ceased, and God said something to him in Deuteronomy 11 in verse 9. He said, "The land that I'm taking to you to is flowing with milk and honey, for the land that you possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a watered garden. You see, when they were in Egypt, the land was so dry and parched that they had to pipe water from the Nile River, and the only way they could do that was with foot pumps. And they had to have people out there 24 hours a day, and they would work so hard, go, go, foot pump, and the water would just a little bit, just enough to keep the crops alive. But God said, I don't want you for the rest of your life to just depend on getting by. The hand of man, the hand of God, but I will bless your hand of labor. And the land that I'm taking you to, you're moving from a foot pump mentality to a land flowing with milk and honey. But I need you to believe, and I need you to use the work of your own hands. You are gifted at something. God says, I will not do for you. I won't do it for you. You have to find your own gift and figure out what you're gifted. When I started out with a Bible in one hand and a saxophone in the other. That's all that I knew to do. Study this, pray fast, and preach this, and play this. And when I couldn't preach a good sermon, I had my saxophone on standby because I knew it could pull me out of a nosedive. Just grab it. And I promise you, just hold your hands up. May the God of heaven bless. Look at your hands. Look at them just a minute. Keep them up. And I just speak this blessing. May the God of heaven bless the work of your hands. May it increase. May it multiply. Whatever your hand touches, may it multiply and multiply and multiply. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, salesman, shout. Come on, car dealer, shout. Come on, insurance man, shout. Come on, mechanic, shout. Come on, factory worker. Come on, single mother. Come on and say, God's going to multiply the work. I'm going to give him work, and he's going to multiply it like he did the bread. I need somebody to give him a shout of faith in a rough economy. Interest rate higher, higher, higher. But God is saying, I am still your Jehovah Jireh, Jireh, Jireh. He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. God wants you highly fruitful. Now, let me end with this. The last way that God blesses us, and I wrote this and I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't even know what I was talking about. Is through the hand of your enemy. Now, that's kind of how I felt, you know, when I wrote it. I thought, that's good. Because I had some people who didn't like me and talked about me and all that. That's not an enemy. That's not, you don't understand. But there will come, the bigger your assignment, there will come true enemies that are sent to kill, steal, and destroy every way they can. But God says in Numbers 14 and verse 9, do not rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. They're about to go into the promised land. The people of the land were giants, and they were freaked out about them. And listen to what he says, for they are our bread. They're bread for us. Your enemies are bread for you. God said in Psalms 23, I can't even give you my best banquet unless you got some enemies, because I prepare my best blessings in the presence of your enemies. I'll prepare a table before you. Not when you got everybody loving you, But when you're going through your darkest storms, when your heart is heavy and you feel like quitting, listen to this. I wrote this when I don't even know where I got it from. I can't remember. Maybe the Lord gave it to me. I don't know. The level of your attack will tell you two things. Number one, how valuable you are to God in your assignment. If you're going through a huge attack, it's because you have an assignment. I wish somebody had to talk. I wish I had listened to my own preaching. If you've got a huge assignment, it will be matched by a huge attack. Secondly, the level of your attack will tell you the level of blessing that is waiting for you on the other side of this attack. I need you to shout if you made it through the fire. If you've ever made it through the flood, won't He do it? Won't He do it? Just every voice told you you couldn't do it. Every voice told you give up. Every voice told you you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not big enough, you are crazy. But when you go through the fire and you still believe, you go through the flood and they don't overtake you, but it gets right up to your nostrils. But that's the people. You don't understand. That's the process. I don't ever talk to anybody who's done much with their life that they haven't had that season where it almost took them out. And I see all of these young couples and young people. If you're 40 and under, if you're 41, sorry. If you're 40 and under, stand up. 40 and under, stand up. Just remain standing 1 second. 40 and under. Well, everything that you are experiencing this morning, the people who are sitting made happen. For the most part. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Most of you have been blessed by the hands of your parents or someone in your life that's helped you along the way. Now it's on you. So to dream a big dream is not to be selfish. To be highly effective in doing something with skill with your hands and build something from scratch and have a dream that you really want to do something with your life. It's actually selfish to not have that kind of mentality. And the reason I had you stand is I want you to feel the weight of nothing that we have done, all the things through the decades. It's because somebody heard a message like this and said, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to be a partner with God. I'm going to do something beyond myself and help others. And watch what God will do back to you. He is no man's debtor. He will come back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You're amazing. We love you. We celebrate you. We believe in you. I believe there are dreams in this house and at every campus that you're standing. I believe with all of my heart, I am talking to world changers. And you may be flipping burgers or you may be nothing wrong with that. Thank God somebody does it. It feeds us. It's not about where you are. It's where you're going and what God can trust you with. And the Bible said if you're faithful with another person's, you'll have your own. If you get up and you think about what can I get by with not doing? But when you get up and you say, I'm going to act like this is my business I work for. Every detail, I'm in it. Look out. God will paint you like they do in the military with a target. And He'll say, I'm going to watch them. And if they mean business, I'll raise them up. I'll put a dream in their heart, and they'll go and they'll do and they'll make a difference and they'll be powerful and they'll live a life that brings glory to me. I'm proud of you. I love you. I'm an older guy. I have a right to talk to you like this. Don't you dream little bitty dreams no more. I want you to begin to pray and say, God, I wasn't put on this earth just to get by, live on a foot pump mentality the rest of my life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on and shout amen. Now everybody else stand with them. Raise your hand. I told you the Lord would bless you. Here comes the hand. A blessing. Just lift the other hand. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One.
To the Holy One. Give thanks. Because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks. Because he's given Jesus Christ. And now let the weak say, and now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I live. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Say that line again.
Give thanks.
Say it again.
Oh, I just give thanks.
Has he been good to you this year? Has he led you through the fire, through the flood? He's taken you to the wealthy place. On the other side.
Give thanks.
Don't forget, the level of your attack will tell you two things. Number one, how valuable you are to God's assignment. And number two, the level of blessing that is waiting for you on the other side of this attack. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I put all my faith in you. And I know when I call on your name, it absolutely guarantees my salvation, cleansing, and forgiving by your blood and your power. I receive, Holy Spirit, your presence into my home, into my life, into my future, into my relationships. Heal every broken place. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, I would love to hear from you. I mean it. And we have a free devotional we want to send you. It's our gift to you and help you in your new walk with the Lord. Well, before I go, I want to say thank you to all of you who have contributed so generously in supporting our projects in Israel. Recently, I was invited to Washington, D.C. just a couple of weeks ago. I watched as Hamas, these terrorists, would pour gasoline on children. They would dismember and take off the heads of the parents in front of the children. I'm sorry I'm having to even talk like this. I watched all of that, and in response, we have pledged $1 million to aid in the establishment of the Resilience Center. This facility aims to provide, listen to me carefully, essential psychological treatments for survivors addressing issues such as PTSD, which is very real. Watch this and see how desperate your help is needed today.
I'm standing here in the Zach's house, the Zach family house in Kibbutz Kisufim, the first community that we introduce you to. On October 7, this entire family perished. When we walked after the atrocities of October 7 into this house, we saw the father lying here behind me on the floor with a knife in his hand. And in the shelter behind me, the mother in bed, hugging her son, both dead and both burned alive. But just like this instinct of a family to protect each other, to save each other, this is what we feel with you, Pastor Jensen Franklin, and your entire congregation. It was an instinct, a family instinct, to come and stand with us and to remind us that we are not alone. You are responding immediately because you know us. You know us already for many years before. And you committed to build a resilience center that will give us therapy for our communities to heal together. In these atrocities of October 7, we know that we will rebuild again. It will be painful and hard, but we know that with you, we can make it happen, step by step, together as a family.
Has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.